Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a rave pressure edit from scratch in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it the way it actually works in drum and bass, fast, modular, and focused on tension. Now, a rave pressure edit is not just a breakdown with some reverb slapped on it. This is the kind of section that feels like the track is being pulled tighter and tighter before the drop snaps back in. It usually lives 8, 16, or 32 bars before the drop, and its job is to keep the dancer floor locked while the full drums and bass disappear or get reduced. What we want here is control, not emptiness, not random effects. We want a breakdown that still has a pulse. So let's set up the session first. In Live, create three groups: drums break, bass pressure, and effects/edits. Keep it modular from the start, because in drum and bass you want to be able to mute, swap, and reshape things quickly. Inside each group, drop in a track you can work with, and put a utility on each group for gain staging and quick mono checks. This is one of those boring little workflow moves that saves you constantly later. If the breakdown starts getting crowded, you'll be glad you separated the energy lanes early. And that's a useful way to think about this section: one lane for rhythmic memory, one lane for tonal tension, and one lane for FX motion. If all three lanes are screaming at once, the breakdown loses authority. We want pressure, not clutter. Let's start with the drums. Pull in a clean break, or duplicate part of your main break and simplify it. If it's audio, turn warp on. Use Complex Pro if you want to preserve tone, or Beats if you want more obvious slicing and crunch. If you want more control, slice to new MIDI track and rebuild the break as a playable pattern. Now program a stripped version of the groove. Keep the kick on strong downbeats. Leave space after the snare. Add a few ghost hats or light snare grace notes so the groove still breathes. The trick is that even though the breakdown is pulling back, the listener still needs rhythmic memory. If the break totally disappears, the section can feel dead instead of tense. For processing, start simple. EQ 8 can clean up low rumble, so high pass somewhere around 120 to 180 Hz if the break is fighting the bass tone. Then try drum bus with a little drive, maybe around 5 to 15%, just enough to add body and attitude. If the loop feels too flat, bring the transients up slightly. Nothing dramatic, just enough to make the break feel like it's still moving forward. Now, one good teacher tip here: check the section at low volume. If the breakdown still has motion when quiet, the rhythm design is strong. If it collapses at low volume, you're probably relying too much on loud effects instead of groove. Next, the bass pressure layer. We do not want a full bass line here. We want bass residue, a hint of the weight, something that suggests the drop without giving away the whole thing. If you're building from scratch, use Waveitable or Operator. Start with a saw or square-based sound. Keep it filtered low, and stay mostly in the low-mid zone. Long notes work well. Single-note pulses work well. Octave slides can also work if they're subtle. The idea is to create a sense that the bass is still there, but it's being held back. Now automate the filter cutoff over the length of the breakdown. You can move it from around 200 Hz up toward 1.5 kHz across 8 to 16 bars, depending on how long your section is. Add a little saturator if it needs more presence, maybe just a couple dB of drive, and keep the low-end mono. In a breakdown, wide sub is usually a bad idea. It makes the mix feel fuzzy instead of powerful. You can also automate small volume moves, like minus 3 to plus 2 dB around phrase points, just to make the bass feel like it's pressing against the arrangement. That pressure is what we want, not a full-on bass line, but a restrained force pushing underneath everything. Now let's add the rave pressure hook. This is where you bring in stabs, vocal chops, or synth hits. It could be analog, Waveitable, or even simpler if you're slicing a rave stab sample. Keep the rhythm sparse. We're not writing a lead line here. We're creating a cue, a crowd memory, a recognizable hit pattern. A really effective move is to use a simple call and response shape. Maybe one stab lands on bar 1, and a reply happens on bar 2. Then repeat that with variation. The point is not complexity. The point is identity. For the chain, try auto-filter with some resonance, then echo with a short sync delay, maybe 1/8 dotted or 1/4, and then reverb with a decent decay, but keep the low end out of the return. High pass the reverb so the breakdown stays clean. If you automate the filter opening or the delay feedback at the end of each 4-bar phrase, that's where the pressure starts to feel intentional. And here's a great rule for darker drum and bass: let one element carry the identity. One stab, one vocal chop, one break accent. Repeating a small idea with varination often hits harder than stacking a bunch of different musical ideas. Now we move into the effects and edits. On your effects/edits group, create a return or audio track where you can collect the pressure effects. Stock Ableton devices are more than enough here. Reverb for wash, echo for rhythmic tails, grain delay for broken up texture, auto filter for sweep control. And if you want a more modern smeared cloud, spectral tine can be really effective. A simple workflow is to route your stabs, vocal chops, or even little break snippets into a share echo and reverb return. Automate send mounts only at the ends of phrases. That way the effects feel like events, not constant background noise. Use auto filter before the reverb so low end doesn't smear everything up. For a rewind or suck back feel, you can automate the master or group volume down over a quarter bar or one bar, then hit it with a short impact or reverse effects on the last beat, before the drop. If the tail gets messy, cut it off with an arrangement mute. Sometimes a little vacuum right before the drop is way more powerful than piling on more risers. Now let's shape the actual pressure curve. Open arrangement view and think in terms of energy over time. Bars 1 to 4 should reduce elements and establish space. Bars 5 to 8 should bring movement back in. Bars 9 to 12 should add stabs, more open filters, and a little more ghost percussion. Bars 13 to 16 should be the strongest tension, leading into a pre-drop silence, impact, or rewind. Automate tone, space, and width, not just volume. That means bass cutoff, reverb dry slash wet, delay feedback, break filter movement, utility gain on the groups, maybe a bit of drum bus drive, maybe even a slight change in stereo width. Small automation curves matter a lot here. Gradual rises for pressure, sudden drops for impact, tiny micro moves for realism. If you're working around 174 BPM, a 16-bar breakdown gives you enough time to really set up a proper transition without losing the dance floor. And if you want the drop to feel huge, sometimes a 2-bar pre-drop silence is worth more than another layer of effects. Bass is a weapon. Let's keep the drums moving. On the drums break group, a subtle bus chain can help the whole section feel glued together. EQ 8 to trim anything below 25 to 35 Hz. Drum bus with a little drive, maybe 3 to 10%. Blue compressor if needed, but keep it gentle. 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction at most. If the break still feels too static, resample it to audio and cut micro slices manually. That often feels more alive than endlessly tweaking the MIDI. Also, don't be afraid of tiny human offsets. A ghost hit that leans slightly ahead or behind the grid can make the whole phrase feel more urgent. In drum and bass, a little tension in timing goes a long way. Now, the big arrangement idea. Don't build the breakdown in isolation. Build it around the drop. If the drop is dense and neuro, keep the breakdown more open and hypnotic. If the drop is a roller, tease the bass rhythm harder. If it's jungle influenced, preserve the identity of the breaks with swing and chops. And before the drop, thin out the sub, narrow the stereo image a bit, and remove anything that could blur the impact. The breakdown should clear the stage, not just keep playing. A strong last bar is often more important than the whole build. Make the final one or two bars feel almost too tense. Fewer drums, shorter tails, narrower stereo, one strong cue sound. Then hit the drop with full width, full low-end discipline, and no mercy. A couple of common mistakes to avoid. First, don't make the breakdown too empty. If you remove all the rhythm memory, the section loses its grip. Keep ghost breaks, filtered percussion, or bass pulses alive. Second, don't leave too much low end in the reverb. High pass your FX returns, always. Otherwise, the drop gets blurred before it even arrives. Third, don't overload the section with too many stabs, risers, and fills. One strong pressure idea is better than five competing ones. And fourth, don't automate only volume. Tone movement matters just as much, often more. A few pro moves if you want this to hit even harder. You can keep a very low level res humming underneath the breakdown, filtered and restrained, just to create menace. You can resample a 4-bar version of the breakdown effects, and then rechop the best moments. You can use return tracks to glue the whole section together in one shared space. And if things get too sharp around 2 to 5 kHz, tame that area before the drop, so the drop feels bigger by contrast. If you want to get a little more advanced, try alternating two 4-bar cells, one with more drums and less effects, another with less drums and more space and echoes. That kind of variation makes the breakdown feel like it's evolving, without needing completely new material. You can also play with a halftime illusion. Keep the BPM the same, but shape the hit so the listener feels a slower pulse. That's a really effective dark drum and bass move. Or do a stuttered pre-drop reset in the last bar, where a stab or drum slice repeats in 1/8 or 1/16 steps, then drops into silence right before the drop lands. And one last pro tip. Print early, tweak later. Once the section starts feeling right, resample it to audio and commit. Pressure edits often sound better when they're a little baked in, instead of endlessly adjustable. So here's the big idea. A rave pressure edit is not just a quiet part before the drop. It's a pressure system. It keeps rhythm memory alive. It controls tone and space. It uses automation like storytelling, and it sets up the drop so it feels enormous. If you can make the listener feel like the groove is being dismantled, the pressure is rebuilding, and the drop is about to explode, you've got it.